I've been here so long, even the seagulls must recognize me. They must pass the word along about me from generation to generation, from egg to egg. Friends of mine, college classmates, people my own age, have gone out and made their mark in the world. They've become artists or businessmen or editors, and yet here I am, still a waterfront reporter.
I cover the waterfront. Stories from the files of a newspaper man's memory, based upon the best-selling book by Max Miller, starring Larry Thor.
I'm called a good waterfront reporter, but so far I've escaped the word veteran. When I'm called not only a good waterfront reporter, but a veteran, then for sure all hope is dissolved. And I need look ahead only to the day when the paper presents me with a gold watch and a final check. But meanwhile, life is not without its compensations along my waterfront. The sun sparkles across this bay more frequently than on many another. And when the rain comes, it is gentle, and the fog is a gray caress which doesn't strangle. Then, too, I have my friends. There are the gulls, squeaking, squawking, and ceaselessly hungry. And the pelicans, gray of head and silent upon their whitened pilings. There are other friends, too, without wings. There's Gino Mello, who owns the game fishing boat, Genoa.
Hey, you come on down the dock, huh? You see the marlin I bring in today. You put it in the paper. What do you say, Alan?
And there's Mrs. Morgan, whose boarding house for girls is a rendezvous for the boys when the fleet's in.
I keep telling her she's in the wrong business, Lee, but she won't listen to me. Maybe you could find her a healthier job. Something out in the open, you know, like a car hop or a cashier in a drive-in.
And Johnny Trompado, the Portuguese. After 2 weeks of fishing Mexican waters, both Johnny and his tuna clipper come home loaded.
Hey, Mr. Moran.
Well, you have a good trip, Johnny?
Good. Jesus mio, those albacore jump in a boat like they don't care to live in the ocean no more. Hey, Lee. What's happen around here while I go away?
Oh, nothing much. Nothing much ever happens around here, Johnny.
Don't try to fool, Johnny.
Hmm?
You see my woman around?
Carla? No, why?
I got an idea she making monkey business when I go away.
Oh, I doubt it, Johnny.
You hear anything about
her? No, not a thing.
I think she make monkey business. I go home now and find out.
You better go home and sleep it off.
I got plenty of time to sleep after I find out. Look, you my friend.
Well, sure.
You are my friend, ain't you? Now, listen. Listen to me. There ain't nothing worse than a woman make monkey business behind her man's back.
Johnny.
Nothing worse, Lee, nothing. You don't know, maybe. Maybe you don't got a woman. But I tell you. A man's bones turn to jelly. His blood, it turns to water. And he ain't no longer a man.
But, Johnny, you haven't any proof.
What I need with proof, I got suspicions.
What characters? Some simple and direct, some confused, some venal saints, others haloed harridans. All of them pass by my office on the waterfront. I call it an office. It's just a stuffy room in a warehouse with an outside stairway, which I share with a publicity agent for the deep-sea fishing barge. And looking out on the harbor, there's a window behind which I spend many hours looking, too, and waiting for something to happen. It doesn't very often, something unusual, that is. But today, it did. The door opened. She stood there. I didn't recognize her at first. 10 years had changed her. Her black hair was sleeker, her dark eyes deeper. And the smart cut of her gray traveling suit marked her as a stranger to my waterfront, if not to me.
Hello, Lee.
Edith, what are you doing in San Diego?
Business and pleasure. This part's pleasure.
I can't believe it's you.
Well, have I changed so much?
Well, not changed, but different, maybe.
Well, you don't seem very glad to see me.
Glad? Well, I'm delighted, but it is a shock. You walking in like this.
I think I always shocked you.
Here, sit down. Tell me all about yourself.
No, I want to find out about you.
Hmm?
How long you've been married, how many children you have, things like that.
They're all in this drawer. diapered with rejection slips.
Well, then you're not married.
No. How about you, Edie?
Only to my career.
And just what is your career, Edie?
What it started out to be while we were still in college.
Fashion designer?
That's right.
And a successful one, I'll bet.
Well, that all depends. Commuting between Paris, New York, and Hollywood can get mighty dull.
It can?
You know, sometimes, Lee, I think I'd like to give up the whole thing and open my own little dress shop in some quiet little town.
Like San Diego?
Maybe. Well, where have you been all this time?
Right here, this quiet little town.
Doing what?
What I started out to do in college.
Oh, then you're a journalist.
I'm a reporter.
Oh. Well, but that must be terribly exciting, interviewing famous people, writing about fires and political scandals and...
Come here. Look out there. See those little boats?
Yes.
They're fishing boats. They don't smell very good up close.
But, Leah...
And that big, ugly thing, that dredger.
Yes?
And that minesweeper tying up to the Navy dock. That's what I write about. How many cubic yards of muck that dredger sucks up to make our new turning basin. How many tons of sardines or tuna or mackerel those fishing boats bring in. And I write about the Navy, too. And what ships are due in port, which ships leave. And each year in the anniversary edition, I rewrite the story of how Cabrillo discovered San Diego Harbor in 1542. And then, when the Grunion are running in the dark of the moon, I write about them. And when a Portuguese fisherman gets married, or has a baby, or dies, I put his name in the paper. Sounds pretty dull, doesn't it?
No.
But you know something, Edie? I love it. I never said it that way even to myself, but I do love it. And I had to say something to this girl who had been everywhere and seen everything. And she seemed to understand. She didn't say anything. She just stood there in that close little room with the sunny reflection from the water dancing on the ceiling. She looked at me the way she used to. And I knew she understood. For an instant, we'd found what we had lost 10 years ago. And the phone rang. And it was lost again. Moran speaking.
This is Barker on the city desk. I got a shooting for you.
Well, you got the wrong reporter, boss. This is Moran on the waterfront.
So's the shooting.
That's out of my line. And anyway, I've got a very important luncheon date.
Break it. Yelling to do a front page story. This is it.
But, boss...
The victim's name is Trompato.
Trompato? Johnny Trompato?
His wife. Know him?
Yeah, yes, I know him. I was best man at his wedding.
And you know the address?
I know it.
Okay, get going.
Sure, boss. Sure. Edie, I was going to ask you to have lunch with me, but something's come up.
Well, won't it wait until after lunch?
No, I'm afraid not. A friend of mine just shot his wife.
Oh, how awful.
I talked to him just this morning. He was drunk and jealous and suspicious, but I didn't think he'd do this. I'm awfully sorry, Edie.
Oh, I understand.
Can you have dinner with me tonight?
Well, I was going back up to Los Angeles on the 420 plane.
There are later planes.
Yes, sir. I suppose there are.
I ought to have this story wrapped up by 6:30, okay?
Okay, Lee.
As I climbed the hill to the Trompato shack, an ambulance passed me going down, a morgue ambulance. So it wasn't just a shooting. It was murder. There was a crowd of neighbors standing around talking in low tones and looking at the house the way people do after an act of violence, as though they were waiting for the second show. Inside, in the kitchen, the police were busy gathering the jigsaw pieces they would try to fit into a picture, dusting for fingerprints, digging a spent bullet out of the wall, taking pictures, asking questions. It was like a scene in a movie. Lieutenant Hayes of Homicide is the director.
Well, what did it say on the truck?
Plumber. Plumber, say.
What plumber?
I don't know. I not read English good.
What was the license number of the truck?
I'm not see.
All right, that's all for now. Oh, hello, Moran.
Hello, Lieutenant. What have you got?
Not much. Victim's Carla Trompato. Yeah. Somebody pumped a couple of 38 slugs into her. Hey, what are you doing here? I thought you covered the waterfront.
The victim's husband is a fisherman.
You know him?
Slightly. Have you talked to him yet?
How can I talk to him? He and his brother have been out fishing for 2 weeks. They aren't due back for a couple of days yet.
So Johnny wasn't a suspect. Maybe he didn't come home this morning after all. Maybe he was sleeping it off down on the beach or out on his boat. The police would catch up with him soon enough. Maybe I could catch up with him sooner. Lieutenant, what was it you were asking that woman about a truck?
Say she saw a truck parked out in front. Yeah. A plumber's truck. She heard the shots, and then she saw a man run out of the house and drive off in the truck.
How long do you think it'll take you to pick him up?
Who knows? I have to check every plumber's shop in town.
Try to make it for the final audition, huh?
Oh, sure. Anything to oblige. Hey, you can do something for me.
Glad to.
You keep an eye on that waterfront of yours. Let me know when Trompato and his brother get back from that fishing trip. I want to talk to him.
Sure thing, Lieutenant. You'd be the first to know. There wasn't much time. If I'd seen Johnny that morning, other people must have seen him, too. As soon as the news broke, they'd talk. But as long as the police were looking for a plumber, I had a little time to look for Johnny. He and his brother Frank moored their boat out at the Point Lome end of the bay. It was there, and Frank was aboard.
Hi, Ole.
Oh, hi, Frank. Is Johnny around?
No. He beat it for home as soon as we tie up. He can't wait for to see his collar. You know how that Johnny is about his collar.
Yeah, Frank. Hang on to something and listen. Carla's dead.
Dead? Dios mío, Jesus Christus, son.
She was murdered less than an hour ago.
Oh, no. Johnny was jealous, crazy jealous, but Johnny won't kill her. You know that.
The police aren't looking for Johnny. They don't even know you're back in port.
Oh, dear me.
Where's Johnny, Frank?
I don't know, Lee. I don't know. I ain't seen him since we tie up. But you know Johnny. He love her. He won't kill her. Oh, he say crazy things sometime, but he love her too
Frank,
much.
Frank, you carry a gun on board?
Sure.
What kind?
38 Colt.
Where do you keep it?
Right here, in this tackle locker. Lee, it ain't here. The gun is gone.
Tomorrow night, at the same time, we continue Brother's Keeper, one of the stories from the files of a newspaper man's memory based upon the best-selling book by Max Miller, I Cover the Waterfront. This is the CBS Radio Network. I Cover the Waterfront. Stories from the files of a newspaper man's memory, based upon the best-selling book by Max Miller, starring Larry Thor. Tonight, we conclude the story of Johnny Trompato, which we have called Brother's Keeper.
Murder stories aren't my line. I cover the waterfront, but this murder happened on my beat, and it happened to the wife of a fisherman I know, so I had to cover it. It made a good enough story, plenty of mystery, lots of loose ends, a yarn that would sell papers for 2 or 3 days to come. But if it wasn't up to my usual standards of repertorial mediocrity, there were a couple of good reasons. One was that I knew more about the murder than the police did, and the other was Edith Wright, whom I hadn't seen since we graduated from college, who had promised to take a later plane up to Los Angeles so we could have dinner together, who was waiting for me now in the corner booth at Angela's downtown on Fisherman's Wharf. I didn't even bother to proofread the copy. I spiked the story on the city editor's desk, and before he had time to read the lead, I was on my way. I had business elsewhere, unfinished business. Hi, Edie.
Hi.
I hope you haven't been waiting long.
I've been consoling myself with the first martini of the day.
Good, I'll join you. Angelo?
Si, Signor Moran.
Two more, and make them my way this time.
Subito, Signor.
Your way?
All the difference in the world. No vermouth.
Oh, you want to pour me on that plate?
I wish you didn't have to leave tonight.
Do you?
Yes.
I might come back sometime if you ask me.
I ask you.
I'll think about it. Seriously. Well, how did it go today?
What?
The shooting.
It wasn't a shooting. It was a murder.
Oh.
Mrs. Timpano died before I got there.
Well, who did it?
Well, the police are looking for a plumber.
A plumber?
It was a plumber's truck parked in front of the house. The next-door neighbor heard shots and then saw a man run out and drive off in the truck. That's the story.
What about the husband? Didn't you tell me you saw him this morning?
That's right. Drunk. Talking crazy about his wife making monkey business while he was away fishing.
Aren't the police looking for him?
No, they think he's still out fishing. They don't know he made port this morning.
But you do.
That's right.
Didn't you tell them?
No.
Well, why not?
Does Macy's tell Gimbel's?
Ecco, signor. Due martini alla Moran.
Oh, they look dry enough. Huh?
Just the zest of vermouth, signor. A whisper, a caress. No more.
Good boy, Angelo.
Signor Moran.
Here's to you, Edie. May we see more of each other in the next 10 years than we have in the last.
I'll drink to that. Wow.
You like it?
Oh, I can tell better when I laugh.
It's the olive, Italian olives. Very powerful.
Well, Lee, this fisherman, this Trumpato? Trumpato. Do you think he killed his wife?
Probably. It's a very sick man.
What's the matter with him?
He suffers from a disease that can be fatal. Jealousy. Every time he came back from a couple of weeks fishing, he thought his wife had been cheating on him.
Well, had she?
Well, as far as I know, the only man she ever saw was the padre when she went to church to pray for a safe return. Of course, it's the first time for everything. There's this plumber. Maybe Carla decided she might as well have the game along with a name. I don't know. I just wish they'd assign somebody else to the story. I know these people too well. I like them too well.
Maybe you're in the wrong business, Lee.
Yeah, maybe. Remember our senior year in college when we thought we were in love? Remember I had a job lined up carrying pipe in the oil fields down in Oklahoma?
We were going to live in a trailer.
But only for the first year.
Until we found the right
house. A yard for the kids to play in. I might have been a lot happier carrying pipe in an oil field.
Lee?
Yes, Ian?
Excuse us,
senor.
Excuse us.
Yes, Angela?
There is a fellow wants to talk to you. I tell him you are busy. Say it's important.
Who is it?
I don't know. He's standing over there by the door.
Oh. Yeah, well, tell him to come over to the table.
Si, senor.
Who is it?
It's Frank Timpano, Johnny's brother. They own the fishing boat together. Something's happened or he wouldn't come over here looking for me. I'm sorry, Edie. This isn't much of a reunion, is it?
Well, it's my fault for dropping in on a murder.
Por favor, Senor Lee. I interrupt, but I've got to talk to you.
Well, that's okay, Frank.
Excuse me, miss. I'm most sorry. Maybe we talk outsidely?
No, no, sit down. Miss Wright's an old friend of mine. What's the matter?
Johnny just telephoned me.
Where is he?
Hiding out down near National City.
What'd he want?
He want me to bring him money so he can get away. What I ought to do?
If you help him get away, you'll be in trouble with the cops.
I know, but he's my brother. I can't turn my own brother.
Let me handle it.
What you going to do?
Talk to him.
You're going to turn him in?
I said I'm going to talk to him. Where is he?
You're my friend, Lee.
If I wasn't, I'd let you stick your neck out. Where's he hiding?
You know Grady Slough that runs back behind the Navy lumberyard?
Yeah.
A friend of Johnny's got his bait boat tied up down there. Yesterita.
Hmm?
He said he would wait for me there. He said, come quick. Bring money. He sound crazy.
You go home. And don't talk to anybody. If the police show up, don't tell them anything. I'll take care of it.
You fix everything?
I'll fix everything.
Oh, thank you, Lee. You are my friend. I'm sorry I interrupt, lady. Very, very sorry.
I'm sorry, too, Edie.
For what?
I got to get down there and talk to Johnny right away.
Don't they call this obstructing justice or accomplice after the fact or something? Why don't you just tell the police where he is?
And let every paper in town in on it? I got to get the story first.
And then turn him over to the police after you've gotten what you want out of him?
I don't know.
You said he was your friend.
I also said I didn't want the assignment, but I'm stuck with it. It's my job, and I've got to do it, even if it is unpleasant.
Unpleasant? I think it's dirty, rotten dirty.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. Well, I've got to get going. I can drop you back at your hotel.
I wouldn't think of taking you out of your way.
Now, look, Edie, please.
I'll
understand.
Just sit here, have another martini your way, maybe a couple.
I'll try to get back in time to drive you
Don't
to the...
Don't put yourself out. I'm perfectly capable of pouring myself on that plane.
Her eyes brimmed with angry tears. The softness of a moment ago was gone. There must have been a word or a gesture that would have brought it back, but there wasn't time to search for them. I had to talk to a man about a murder, not in the interest of justice, but in the interest of circulation. As I drove down the bay toward National City, things got more and more confused. Maybe Johnny wasn't guilty. Maybe the plumber, or as they say, a person unknown had killed Carla. I pulled into a gas station and phoned Lieutenant Hayes of Homicide to see if there were any new developments. There were.
What kind of a waterfront reporter are you, Moran?
What do you mean?
The Trompato brothers made port early this morning.
They did?
Yeah.
I understood they weren't due back for 2 or 3 days.
Well, it's not the first time a suspicious husband got back from a trip early. Only this one murdered his wife.
Well, Johnny, what about that plumber?
We found him. His story checks. Never laid eyes on Mrs. Trompato until he showed up this morning to fix the sink. Trompato walked in 5 minutes later, full of booze and suspicion. Yelled something in Portuguese at his wife. She yelled something back. He whipped out his .38 and let her have it. The plumber left by the back door fast.
Well, just goes to show you never tell about people.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Hey, you picked up Trompato yet?
No, but we will. Don't worry.
I won't. I have great faith in you, Lieutenant. It was a good hideout, that slough. The Navy lumber yard bulked black on the opposite shore, blanking the glow of the city to the north. On the south side, 100 yards of stinking tidal flat stretched from the little-used dirt road to the channel where the Estrella was tied up. You crossed it by a creaking, rickety catwalk 4 feet above the muck. The tide was going out, the fog was coming in, and you couldn't see the light in the tiny cabin until you stepped onto the unsteady float. Johnny? Johnny Trompato? Johnny, I want to talk to you.
Who is it?
Lee Moran.
What are you doing here?
I want to talk to you. Can I come aboard?
Sure, come ahead. But I got nothing to say to you.
Hey, Johnny, put down that gun. I'm your friend.
I got no friends no more. How did you know where to find me?
Well, Frank told me.
Did he send the money?
No.
Got no friend, got no brother no
Haven't
more.
Haven't you done enough already? Do you want to get Frank into a jam?
You sure don't want to help me out of one? Okay, I'll make it all right. I'll make it by myself.
Why did you kill her, Johnny?
I tell you this morning. She make monkey business when I'm fishing. I go home, I find a guy there.
The guy was a plumber. He was fixing the sink.
Fixing the sink? If we don't have electric refrigerator, maybe you tell me he was ice.
Johnny,
man.
It's the truth. He never saw Carla before in his life.
You know, I make one big mistake, Lee. I killed Carla first. I should have killed him first. Big mistake. He got away.
Biggest mistake you made was to suspect your wife.
Yeah, yeah. What do you know about wives? How many wives you had, huh?
Well,
don't talk to me. You go back to town. You tell the police. Write the story in the papers. You'll be big man. But Johnny, he'll be gone when the police get here.
Where? You can't run away from this.
Ocean's different south of here. Oceans belong to Mexico. Johnny okay in Mexican
sure,
Ocean.
Sure, Johnny, sure. Maybe you can get away from the San Diego police. Maybe you can get away from the U.S. Coast Guard. But can you get away from Carla?
What are you talking about?
You loved her. You loved her very much. I know. I remember the day you met her. You told me how much you loved her. You're going to marry her and have a whole flock of kids, all boys, and they were going to grow up and be fishermen.
Get
and
off
finally,
boat.
When she said yes, remember how happy you were? Remember how you and Frank and I went out and celebrated?
Shut
Johnny.
Up.
Put that gun down. Listen to me. Remember your wedding? What a party, and nobody went to bed until the next day except you and Carla.
Get off.
You can't run away from Carla, Johnny. Come on now. Be sensible. Come on back to town with me. I'll get you a lawyer.
Oh, sure, a lawyer. Maybe I don't get the gas. Maybe I get life. Maybe I sit in San Quentin the rest of my life. No, not
me. Listen to me.
I listen long enough. Now I'm going to tell you something. I killed today. I killed my woman. My woman I love. It makes no matter now if I kill again. They can't give you the gas price. So shut up and get off the boat. I'm going to kill you.
I stood on the uneasy dock and watched as the little boat floated away on the ebbing tide. I listened as the motor turned over, coughed, missed, and then caught. Then the Estrella was lost in the sea black. No light shone from it now. There was only the soft, fading chug of its motor as Johnny put out to sea. Somehow, as I walked slowly back across the putrid muck, I thought of the River Styx and wondered why Sharon was not on duty tonight. At the hotel, they said Miss Wright had checked out, taken an earlier plane, and I wondered if I'd ever see her again. Well, I had my story, my byline story on the front page. It was a one-day sensation, and the grateful management squared the beef with the police, and I went back, covering the waterfront. That's how I happened to be around a couple of days later when the Coast Guard cutter towed in a small derelict they had found imperiling navigation somewhere off the Coronado Islands. It was the Estrella. Her gas and water tanks were full. There was food aboard. She was seaworthy, but she had been abandoned. I didn't say it in my follow-up story, but my guess was that she carried too many passengers. Johnny, his conscience, and the memory of Carla. And one of them had to go.
You have just heard Brother's Keeper, one of the stories from the files of a newspaper man's memory based upon the best-selling book by Max Miller, I Cover the Waterfront. Tonight's story from I Cover the Waterfront was dramatized by Tom Hanley and Gil Dowd and produced and directed by William N. Robeson. Tune in again tomorrow night when I Cover the Waterfront brings you the strange love story of the Hermit of San Nicolas Island and his Embarcadero Bride. This is the CBS Radio Network.